KP830AM, Sandpoint, Alaska, and K201DA, 88.1 FM, King Cove.
Alaska Public Media presents the following special broadcast. The regularly scheduled program will return next week.
This is the Poetry Cafe, where we feed your mind, your body, and your soul. And on tonight's episode, we've got the one, the only, the phenom, Tanya Ross.
I literally was going out to Nirvana, like seriously, I was home by myself and everything. And I was going out, and someone had just called me and said, "What's up, boss?" And I was like, "Hey," and I felt this right arm being very weak, but I was like, "Oh, I just need some rest." And so I had the phone up here, and then all of a sudden I fainted out. And I heard them faintly going, "Ross, Ross, give me your mom's number." This person didn't even know my mom or anything. I had a stroke, so when I had that stroke, which was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Okay, so time, I never heard anybody say this is the best thing that ever happened to me, having a stroke.
Yep, it was.
Okay.
Because the stroke gave more purpose to purpose.
Plus the Sankofa session, the Poetry Hotline, and so much more on this 8 p.m. Juneteenth special of the Poetry Cafe.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The White House says President Trump will make a decision within 2 weeks about action in Iran, which is currently in a seventh day of war with Israel. Moments ago, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said Trump's top priority is that Iran not acquire a nuclear weapon. And when asked at today's briefing about ongoing talks,
"As for correspondence between the United States and the Iranians, I can confirm that correspondence has continued. As you know, we were engaged with six rounds of negotiations with them in both indirect and direct ways."
Congressional members on both sides of the aisle are raising questions about the scope of presidential authority. More from NPR's Windsor Johnston.
Some lawmakers say the presidential power, known as the authorization for use of military force, should not be used as a blanket permission. That was first used in 2001 in Afghanistan. Alex Vitanka is a senior fellow at the Middle East Institute in Washington, D.C. He explains the legal and strategic risks of U.S. involvement.
"In this case, is the issue of Iran didn't attack the United States. So how do we justify entering into a war with Iran at this point? That's a valid conversation to be had."
Without a direct attack on the U.S., the administration is facing growing pressure to explain the case for military action. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
Meanwhile, in the occupied West Bank, Palestinian officials are reporting Israeli raids and home demolitions. More from NPR's Sadil Al-Shalchi.
Israeli forces continue to impose severe restrictions on the movement of Palestinians in and out of their villages and towns in the occupied West Bank, according to the official Palestinian news agency Wafa. Palestinian villages and towns were encircled by Israeli forces on the first day of Israel's war with Iran last Friday. The Israeli military said that it has reinforced its presence in the West Bank and is conducting what it called offensive activity there. Wafa said that Israeli forces have sealed entrances to the towns with cement blocks and iron gates. Israeli raids and home demolitions have also continued in the territory, according to Palestinian officials. Hadil Al-Shalchi, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
A Colorado judge says there's enough evidence to bring hate crimes charges linked to this month's Boulder attack. Here's Colorado Public Radio's Allison Sherry.
There was a lengthy debate in federal court about whether Mohammed Soleiman targeted the group that gathered regularly to call for the release of Israeli hostages because of their national origin. His attorney argued that he didn't care about where the actual protesters were from, but that he disagreed with their political beliefs, which isn't covered under federal hate crimes law. Federal prosecutors say in the man's writings and interviews with police, he was targeting Zionists, which is support for the nation-state of Israel, and that there is enough probable cause to proceed on the hate crimes piece of his charges. The judge ultimately agreed with the prosecutors. For NPR News, I'm Allison Sherry in Denver.
This is NPR. In West Virginia, officials in Ohio County are confirming the death of an eighth victim from floods over the weekend. Miriam Young has the latest.
The body of a man was found in Ohio County Wednesday, the latest victim of massive floods that have decimated homes, roads, and businesses in West Virginia. Governor Patrick Morrissey underscored the magnitude of loss in a press briefing.
"People were talking about the vibrancy of the three-year-old who was lost. I mean, we can't take that back."
As local and state crews work to repair roads and restore power, Morrissey said volunteers are needed. For NPR News, I'm Maria Young in Charleston, West Virginia.
Researchers have identified a special circuit in the brain that keeps track of an animal's sleep debt and makes sure it gets paid off. NPR's John Hamilton reports on a study in the journal Science.
Skimp on sleep one night, and you'll probably do some extra snoozing the next. That's sleep debt, and scientists think they figured out how it works. A team led by researchers at Johns Hopkins University identified special neurons that become more active when a mouse is sleep-deprived, then resume normal activity once the mouse has caught up. These neurons make up a circuit in the thalamus, an area of the brain that plays a crucial role in sleep-wake cycles. When the team activated these cells, mice would sleep longer and more deeply than they typically did. The finding could help explain how disorders like Alzheimer's may cause people to sleep too much or too little. John Hamilton, NPR News.
I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Progressive, with small business insurance for protecting a variety of business types with multiple coverage options, designed to fit business owners' needs. More about small business insurance is at progressivecommercial.com.
They tried to bury us, did not know that we were seeds. Whole 6 feet deep, surprised to see my black fist sprout from the soil, they tried to drown us. Did not know that we were fish. Ignorance is bliss, tried dropping us on the mountaintop, did not know that we could fly. They are the lie when faced with the truth. I mean, think about it. As the world turns, does the sun ever really, really stop shining? Does success ever truly know defeat? We are the epitome of opportunity. Optimism incarnate. A sonnet, Moses' staff, parting the Red Sea, a line in the sand, the power of prayer. They set me ablaze, forgot I was a phoenix. You see, they are trying to kill us daily, but we just keep creating new ways to live. Branches extend toward the heavens, see me blossom. Seeds get scattered to the wind, we grow like weeds, like roses from concrete. We seek only light, but grow in darkness through stress and strain and time and pressure and heat. We be diamonds. Reminds me of a shooting star. The reality is, it's actually falling from the sky. Black man shot down in white tea, but we make a wish anyway. Just trying to be free. Welcome to this Juneteenth 8 p.m. special of the Poetry Cafe, where we feed your mind, your body, and your soul. And on this episode, it's all about overcoming, about freedom, about perseverance, and how we continue to move forward no matter the obstacle. The stories and the art that we share here, we hope inspire and remind you of what's possible, the light at the end of the tunnel, how bright the future is that we have ahead. And we have in studio today the one, the only, Tanya Ross, the boss. And we've been chopping it up, man, all day before the show, just talking about how this thing has come into fruition. So we're going to give you a sneak peek, a peek in of what it's like to live in the day of the life of the creator of Ebonique, the singer, the songwriter, the healer, the artist, the poet, Tanya Ross, y'all. This is the Poetry Cafe. Check it out. Trying to stop my blessings, but not today. Not ever. So we were recapping the Couch Club and how it was the jump start for Ebonique.
Yes, it was.
Piano playing, song singing, bass drumming. Trio.
Yes.
Trio. Who were the members of Ebonique?
Yeah, well, I was the leader and founder, Tanya Ross.
Okay, excuse me, and leader and founder of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
That was my baby, though. That really was my baby.
All right, we got you.
And then the drummer was Robin Taylor.
Yep.
And then the bass player, she actually came later because actually our original first member was Zuleika.
Okay.
She actually sung. When Ebony first began, I didn't sing. I just focused on piano.
That's like the collective.
And a lot of people don't know that. Zuleika Smith was the first female singer that sung with us at the Couch Club. And she was with us for 2 years. And then after that, we decided to focus on a bass player, which was Robin Johnson. She was older than us. And then we continued as Ebonique, and I became the lead singer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But the Couch Club, like, you was like your first,
first. Yes.
And then from there, where'd you all go?
Well, it's crazy because a guy named Chris Robinson, I met him when I was working in a music store. And he was like, are you really serious about this? And I was like, yeah, because we had been doing, like, you know, the Couch Club thing. And he was like, well, if you're serious, then I need to teach you the business and you need to learn about contracts. So he kind of got with me and gave me my first what you call gig in the public eye.
Uh-huh.
And I played for, gosh, I can't remember those guys' names, but it was a Black Golf Association.
Nice.
And that was my first gig. And I tell people, you got to build, because
right.
You know, that first gig, that first gig was $250.
Yes.
And that first $100 went to the sound man. So,
yeah.
You know, the band wasn't getting number $50 ahead.
Right.
But you have to start somewhere and create your name so that people will start paying you the money that
right.
you need. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right. And that was how many years ago? That was
27 years I've been in the business.
Wow.
Yes,
shout
I'm
out.
Blessed
27
beyond, yes,
years.
Full time for 25. So I'm blessed beyond measure. Seriously.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Ebonique happens.
Mm-hmm.
The first show was at the Golf.
Yeah, with the Golf Association.
Wow, that's a hell of a first gig.
It
Golf
was,
Association.
And we were nervous. I mean, because these guys were professionals, and we were playing kind of like their gala.
Uh huh.
And we were nervous. It was our first.
Well, for somebody to see you and believe in you enough to give you a shot at that type of event is
right.
powerful enough. And
you're right.
Just to, you know what I'm saying? Most cats get their first gig at a nightclub
yeah.
or a sofa bar or something like that, but you out on a
yeah.
golf course.
But you know what? I will be honest with you. You know how you, say me and you were having this conversation before, when you know who you are and you see the vision before it happens.
Right.
See, because I always knew that I would be a performer and that I would be doing this for a living. I knew that since I was 18.
Mm.
And so it's like I could see beyond. Even before, and I have to say this, even before we ended up playing all the places opened up for all the people that we opened up for, when we were in those early stages, right where you're talking about now, Couch Club, before anybody knew who we were, seriously, I was saying, I'm going to play Fun Fourth. I'm going to play the Carolina Theater. I'm going to play the Coliseum. I'm going to open up for this person. And I tell people the way you think, your manifestations, how you speak, how you feel about things is what made things happen.
Your words, your words, your thoughts.
And your feelings.
Then your power
yes,
comes from that.
That is your power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, what's the biggest show you played for?
Ooh. I have been blessed to open for several.
Okay, well, go ahead and brag one time for your mind. We here.
Well, I'm going to say this. The first Ebonique show that we opened up for was Boney James, Rick Bronze, Norman Brown. I actually opened up for Tank by myself, solo.
Mm-hmm.
Opened up for, I can't think of that violinist's name. I'd have to give. Oh, we've opened up for the Manhattans, Temptations, the Spinners. I've been blessed. I've opened up for a lot of nice people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And now we're moving from the studio to the stage. Make some noise and check out the poet Sage Chioma here in the Portrait Cafe.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed things so far. I'm about to present a poem that I wrote in the Laureate series. I don't know if you know, but Josephus is the first poet laureate of China. And right out the gate, he did something as a poet laureate. He had a series in which he has a workshop, and I don't know if you know, he is a coach. And I'd like to say the poem that I'm about to present probably would have never seen the light of day. It would have just remained in my prayer journal, under my bed somewhere. I would have pulled it out years later and said, did I write that? I have a tendency to do that. And so I put my little coins together and gave myself a birthday gift because as a writer, I was truly stuck. And right out the gate, he's like, I don't know what you came here to do, but you're going to write. And so I was able to produce this, and I have my other counterparts there. The prompt, words, thoughts, power, poem untitled. I've heard it said that words are your magic wand. And with our words, we can cast spells. Like a paintbrush in a painter's hand or a mound of clay, bringing forth that which is not into the hearts and minds of those who can hear, see, feel, and are touched by our words. Bringing that which does not exist into existence. Words are rooted in our thoughts. And the rules that apply are always the same. Like a poem isn't fully written until it's read, your word will never return to you void. And thoughts become things. You've heard it, I've heard it. We've all heard it, time and time again. But if I'm being totally honest and truthful, I am thankful that my thoughts are not instantly seen or heard by others, for they reveal the insecurity, the contradictions, the pain of the past that I carry like an albatross choking the life out of my aspirations, hopes, and dreams. The pain of the past that I've carried like a corpse covered in a bouquet of broken promises, betrayal, unrealistic expectations, grief, trauma, too many doubts to number, all encased in fear. Words that fill my mind with negative self-talk and incessant chatter that drives me to the breaking point till I have no choice but to go within. It drives me so close to the edge that I have to go deeper and deeper inside where that small, quiet voice resides. That voice that urges me to allow my thoughts to run their course and die a natural death. That voice that urges me to just stop and take a deep breath. That voice that urges me to take a deep breath in each breath, like a machete, chopping through the thick terrain of my cluttered mind, and my thoughts suddenly subside, and I reach a clearing, and that small, gentle, quiet voice meets me there. With a tenderness that the world has never shown, a tenderness that melts into the gap in between each and every breath. And then I'm reminded that words have the power to hurt, heal, bind, or set free. It is in that moment that that small, quiet, gentle voice whispers ever so tenderly, I am the poet, the sculptor, the creator, the author, and in that moment I come to the realization that when my thoughts and my words and my will are aligned with the divine, I am just a breath away from the one who serves many and the many who serve one. Now friends, that is true power. And so on this day, I am ever so grateful to reconnect with my authentic self and to shed all the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, and if onlys, and to finally embrace the pearl, the emerald, the diamond, the supernova that shimmers and shines beneath it all. On this day, I not only find my voice, but in this holy and sacred moment, I use my voice to set the captives free by simply taking a deep breath and making the choice to begin.
Give it up for Sage one more time. I'll make some noise for Sage. Again, that was Sage, and we're going to take a quick break. But We'll be right back with more poetry, more poets, and more story from Tanya Ross here on this 8 p.m. special of The Poetry Cafe. But before we get there, I had a chance to ask a few people about Juneteenth and what it meant to them, what represented in their lives, and could they identify or even relate. And for me, it's the opportunity to celebrate and remember the sacrifices and tenacity and resilience of a people who never stop dreaming of and fighting for the day they will be free. Let's check out what James had to say.
What's up, everybody? It's James Daniels, aka James Solomon. And when I think about Juneteenth and its importance, I think about the word authenticity, because when I think of our typical National Independence Day, July 4th, I always think of an inauthentic revolution. It was this revolution that people were fighting to be free and be free from another country, not realizing that we had people right here in this country who were still not free and were still not going to be free for another 100 plus years. And so I always think of Juneteenth as an authentic revolution, which I love, because we all want to be authentic. We all want to be liberated in our mind, our body, and our soul. But the only way to do that is for all folks to be free in their minds and their bodies and soul. And this was the start of that being able to happen in the nation of the United States of America. And so when I think of Juneteenth, I always think about authenticity, authentic revolution, and authentic liberation.
You're listening to Alaska Public Media on KSKA Anchorage, FM 91.1. Connecting Alaskans, life informed.
I'm Ira Flatow. When did you first get captivated by science? Astronaut Leland Melvin says his interest was sparked literally when his mother gave him a chemistry set.
You know, I created this explosion. I burned her carpet. She ran in the room and, you know, I got a spanking, but my brain was activated to science.
Activate your brain to science on Science Friday from WNYC Studios.
Friday from 10 to noon on Alaska Public Media, FM 91.1.
And welcome back from the break. You are inside the one and only Poetry Cafe. We're in your mind and your body and your soul. So how would you classify what you... So people say, what do you do?
Right.
Do you say that you're a singer, an artist? Are you a gymnast? Like, what do you...
You know, really, me and my man over here were having
a conversation. Hey, the poet's in the building?
We were having a conversation, and, you know, I really, truthfully, because I have to explain this, I think that these things that we do are vehicles. Mm. But I feel like that our purpose is who we are. So who I am is a healer that happens to do different vehicles such as music, singing, writing, talking. It doesn't matter. These are vehicles.
Right.
Who I am is a healer. Mm. And so I use music, always have, as a healing mechanism, first for me and then to send to the people, because music heals the souls. Words heal the souls of mankind. Where certain things can't, at music where no one can hit, the frequency does. And then with words that are powerful, they empower people to do things.
Come on, so, with the healing soul of mankind.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because that's really it. You know what I'm saying?
I think the first time I saw you perform was at Boston's House of Jazz.
Wow.
Over by the stadium.
Dang, you
it
went,
was,
yeah.
It was the box.
It was the baby Boston.
You know what I'm saying? The baby Boston's.
Which was the best one for me. It was so artistic. See, I like that creativity.
Right.
You know, me and my man over here, Poet Paige. Paige, you know, we were talking about, you know, like just the artistry of things. Me and you were talking about that, the artistry of right. things, the creation of it, whether it's poetry or music. And I have to say this, which is so cool that you having me, because until me and him was having that conversation, I just thought about it. I started with poetry. See, it was poetry and music.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And my first biggest project was poetry and music.
Mm.
We had four lady poets and the three ladies on the music. And we would let the girls come to the house and they would like vibe with us. And we'd be like, let me hear that. And they would spit something. Right. And then I would be like, okay, I hear this. And we would throw music to it. So this is like full
circle. We should have bust a keyboard in the building today.
Yeah, but this is like full circle.
Yeah, that's what we
hear. Because I just realized I started with poetry and music.
Right.
But I mean, you know, if you do something, I'll do a twerking around you.
We may have to go ahead and get some of that for the people.
Don't play with me now.
Hey, I was wondering about the keyboard, though. Yeah, okay. So we're going to give y'all some of that before it's over with.
And as we jump from the studio to the stage, one more time, let's welcome Hummingbird inside this 8 p.m. Juneteenth special of the Poetry Cafe.
Hello, everybody. Hi, how are you? Hello, hi. My name is... Hi, everybody. Okay, my name, I am... Hummingbird. You know... It should be easy to tell them who I am. But before I get the words out, I see you. My thoughts betray me. Doubt consumes me, and I'm trapped. You gave me a powerful name, Queen Makeda of Sheba, right? But instead I feel more like those five kings trapped in that cave, waiting for judgment. But I'm not fleeing the son of Nun. It's you. You're who I'm running from. I'm running from the expectations of you that people see in me. I'm running from the shadows of you that I see inside myself. But every day, I pray to be composed, strong. Like I'm supposed to be. Like I have to be. But why do I have to be? When do I get to choose for me? You see, I am Makeda, but I am bigger. I am myself. I am better. I am a blazing flame. I am gossamer. Fine, I am a sunshine sprite. I'm a hummingbird. I am the hummingbird. And I am not just Yolanda's daughter anymore. I am grown, Mom. And I, Makeda, am the gold that glitters. Thank you.
This is the Poetry Cafe. My name is Josephus. We are here feeding your mind and your body and your soul. And we are in studio with the one, the only Tanya Ross, the boss. Man, such a crazy conversation. So healing, man, that's deep. That's deep. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing, you know, Mr. Boss stand on the table.
Oh, Lord. Yes. That was his thing.
But that spot was 75 people,
yes.
Maybe.
Yes. And packed, it was packed.
Packed.
Because you outside they were packed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably was breaking codes.
Yeah. But it's interesting that every city has that spot.
That spot.
You know, where it starts. Now, we're talking about the Rib Shack being here, that being a joint
and
for
actually,
a minute.
Actually, my very, very first spot, though, that I really did where people began to hear me actually was R&R. R&R were the first guys that gave after the golf thing that gave Ebonique a chance to play. So I was partnered with them for years.
Yeah, that I remember
that
too.
That was the biggest thing.
Yeah, and that was Thursday?
Every Thursday.
Yeah.
And we were normals.
Nice. So what are you doing these days? You keep this pushing this healing thing.
Yes.
So it's been 27 years.
Yes, it has.
And you're still doing it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
How has it changed and molded and morphed over the years from, you know, opening for people and doing a spot here, a spot there.
See, I gotta give you
Thursday.
Your props. You're asking some good questions, okay?
I'll take
you know
props.
What? Seriously, because it has, when you ask the question, how has it morphed? Now, I'm going to be honest with you, from the singing aspect, I still love it because it's in here. But I enjoyed it more in the earlier parts of my career in the 90s because there was such a respect for artistry and the music.
Right.
Now we are going away and want the band to be the DJ. We have a DJ.
Yeah, we need a four-hour set.
Exactly. You remember that?
For $75.
Exactly. So they used to, but the crowd used to really respect your artistry, and I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Like we could do a poet back then and say, yo, I used to do it all the time on my set. I would bring, I brought a friend of mine named Shonda. She was the bomb. And I said, hey, and this is back in the 90s. I was like, no, 2000s. I said, hey, come. No, that was 1998. But anyway, I said, hey, come to my set.
Right.
I want you to spit some poetry with the music.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you the crowd was receptive of hearing a poet on the mic with a live band. Now, unless it's like a venue where you are hosting and people know they're coming for poetry and music, people sometimes don't respect that artistry and that gift.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I liked it better then as far as the crowd being more receptive to artistry and creativity. But it has been a beautiful thing, though. And now I'm still singing, like you said. I now have my own vocal studio that I teach vocals.
Mm.
And then I also do a lot of spiritual work, too. I'm a spiritual healer as well as a musician.
So which one comes first? Do they come? Is it an order? Do they come in or do they all fit together as like the Trinity?
There you go. They all fit together.
Okay.
I really feel that. They're all one.
Mm-hmm.
But I love to do them all from the perspective of healing. Because even in doing my vocals, I tell people that when you come here, everything I teach you vocally, you can apply to your life, which is true.
How long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching as far as professionally the last 8 years.
Okay.
But I've been teaching all my life.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
You know how that is.
Yeah. What shifted for you? Because, I mean, I know at one time artists are like, gig, get it. I need to be performing every week and then make this money to pay these bills.
There you go.
Like, how do you shift? Because at some point you have to step back and be like, this is what I want to do. This is how I need to make it happen in order to create a lifestyle and feed a family. Because if you're just in the club gigging every weekend, then you kind of get wore out.
Yeah,
you kind of get burnt out.
Well, I have. I mean, you know, because that is how I have made my living all these years. But I had a stroke 5 years ago. So when I had that stroke, which was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Okay, it's time. I never heard anybody say that's the best thing that ever happened to me, having a stroke.
Yep, it was.
Okay.
Because the stroke gave more purpose to purpose.
Okay.
So it has taken every gift to the next level. Because whenever you are at a space that you have been knocked on your behind and you have no other choice but to be really sitting in your inner self, then it helps you to evaluate everything about you and your gifts and to appreciate your gifts to the next level. So when you come out of a place, because I had to learn how to sing correctly back from my diaphragm and not to go back and forth between the throat because my brain was trying to adjust. I had to relearn how to get the coordination together between the band singing and playing and running sound. So this was a time to go in more. And so the reason I said it was the best thing that ever happened to me is because it took me to the next level of who I am. And who I am is far beyond the Tanya Ross, as they say, the boss.
Yeah.
Who I am is
something that's like your cocoon phase, the caterpillar.
That was
you
the
know
cocoon.
The chrysalis.
There you go.
You know, they say when you don't slow down, you know, he knocks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He may trip you up a little bit. You still be trying to run.
Mm-hmm.
He just had to knock you flat on your butt.
And
you know what I'm saying?
A lot of times you need it.
You got to sit you down.
Mm-hmm. You need that expansion for yourself, which I knew that. So it was coming. I needed it.
Right, right. So how do you survive that, though? You know, going from gigging weekly, you know, two or three times a week, to having to sit down, but it's been your main source of income and passion and purpose. Like, how does an artist, you know?
So first of all, my motto in music has always been, I believe in excellence in music. And excellence means that no matter if it's one person, 2,000 people, 10,000 people, a million people, you do the same performance. Mm. And because I have always been a person who said excellence, and I will perform because I love it, not for the crowd or what they do for me, but because I love it, that afforded me fans and friends and family and people who said, you've been given to us for this many years, 25 years or however many years it was then, and said, we're going to do fundraisers and we're going to bless you.
So it loved you back.
So it loved me back. It was through fundraisers and people's donations. And I got some of the best, like, seriously, blessing. See, I think that's what it is. You start to see how much of an impact this, because your gift is nothing without an impact on people. So you start to see how impactful your gift has been in being not a singer trying to get, yes, you're so bomb, but healing folks, that those people say, you've healed me through music all these years, and we're going to give you money so that you can continue to do this when you get back on your feet. So it was God and the love of music and the impact that I had and the gift far beyond my physical self that allowed me to survive that. So I was blessed, and I still am. I'm more blessed today than I was before the stroke. I appreciate the stroke.
And as we keep blazing through this thing, man, here's Sankofa Section, standing in our present, looking back at our past, moving towards our future. This is The Woman Storm, and you are tuned in to The Poetry Cafe.
Sankofa.
There's power in the spoken word. Not the thought is meaningless, but it's the word that teeth and tongue form, the word that's given tone by the vocal cords. It's the living word that living breath pushes forth that has power. There's power in the spoken word. Something occurs in that vibration that's created between the stated and the heard. It's another law of cause and effect, sewn into the fabric of the way the world works. The same way that spring follows winter and summer precedes fall. It's just the natural order of things that the spoken word should bring forth things. The power of the tongue is a natural law, thrown into motion way back when the Spirit of God still hovered the ocean. So yeah, this stuff is just that old. Because we owe our existence to what God spoke. So he told the creation story, and the world is just an illustration. This universe is just a manifestation of his word. See, God said, let there be, and then there was me. And he said, his word is good, so I am. He said, his word is good, so I can. He said, his word is a lamp unto your feet, and that's why I stand here today, beaming to you, gleaming to you, screaming to tell you to walk this way, explaining the power of your tongue so you can talk this way, or not talk at all, because the weary can rise and the mighty can fall on the strength of what people say. So understand that there is power in the spoken word. Now, as powerful as the pen is, it's tongues that we were born with. And if the point was really communication, then we'd all be connected by collective thought. But we're not, which means that there's purpose as well as power in using what we've got. The spoken word was created to be cataclysmic. It's catalytic. It is specifically designed as stimuli, so it's supposed to make things happen. And the point is so far beyond finger snapping and hands clapping. Sometimes I feel like laughing when some cats be rapping and spitting verses about nothing. And just with your hands nod, thinking and saying something. And a head nod is not what we should concentrate on. Artists, let's give the people something to meditate on. Plant seeds in the mind the truth can germinate on, so that the fruits of change can grow. When you spit, lives should be changed from the tip of your lips to as far as your words go. And that's a distance that can't be measured by how many dabs you get or CDs you sold. We wordsmiths should be held responsible for reaping every word we've sown. And we will account for every wasted breath. We will answer for every ideological birth or death, every positive or negative thing that manifests. Because it's something we said. Oh, you ain't never scared? Well, you should be. Because your words could be the millstone around your neck that drags you straight to hell. So everybody, it's the only speak words of light, because quickly comes the night when no man can work. Let us speak to heal, to reveal, to elevate, and to eliminate hurt. Let us speak atomically, dropping bombs of creativity that mushroom over the doom and gloom of the world and restore life and color in rainbows of nouns and verbs. Let us teach that silence is as important as speech, and bring clarity to what's become so blurred. Let us learn to use it so as not to abuse it. We need it too much to lose it. Let's expect the power of the spoken word.
Shout out one more time to The Woman Storm, featuring in our Sankofa section today. We are inside the Poetry Cafe with Hanya Ross, the boss, the healer, the musician, the teacher, the phenom herself. Give us a little, some vocals. Take us to the break real quick one time.
Let's see, what am I gonna do? Chop to fit foo fit lady, pop pop a doo boo fit do da da, pop over day, pop a foo fab boo fit it boo fab foo fee, if Josie falls. Yay, yay, yay.
You're listening to Alaska Public Media on KSKA Anchorage, FM 91.1.
If your IRA requires a minimum annual distribution, you could potentially make a tax-advantaged gift to Alaska Public Media directly from your retirement account. And you may receive a tax benefit regardless of whether or not you itemize deductions by excluding the gift from your adjusted gross income. To learn more, contact your financial advisor or go to alaskapublic.org/IRA.
Support for Alaska Public Media comes from donors like you and from Alaska Air Transit, flying Alaskan families, essential workforce, and cargo to communities statewide, specializing in on-demand charters. There's more at flyaat.com.
And welcome back to this Juneteenth 8 p.m. special of the Poetry Cafe. Feeding your mind, your body, and your soul. Let's jump back in with Tanya Ross.
The healer, the singer, Couch Club, Aggie. So many titles, man, but friend, lover of arts. And my people, man, we here.
Yes.
Just showcasing and providing a platform to really give you behind, you know, the poem, behind the music, behind the person. So often you just see the person on stage for 30 minutes to an hour doing a set.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much more to who we are. And we want this show to provide that space to know the artist, the person, beyond snapping and clapping from the audience. So a stroke, the people loved you, supported you, picked you back up, put you on your feet.
Yes.
And that's love, because you hear about that so often on social media, how it happened. But to know somebody that can actually say, this happened to me, right? And I raised enough money to live on.
Yes.
For how long was it?
It was a year till I really, really got back to my
a year like where
me.
You couldn't play. Mm-hmm. You'd had no income, but the people kept you.
I did go out, but it was like, I've always been the type of person to show the miracle of God. So I wasn't supposed to be, because one of the things that the stroke does is it takes all of your energy. You don't have any energy.
Right.
So I would showcase, let me show y'all that I'm walking in my healing. Am I going through and trying to get my mind to connect? I am. But I want to show it. So I did a couple of things just to show people that miracle, and then retreated, because I really wasn't.
Was it to show them or to show you?
No, I really wanted to show them the miracle, because I knew I was a miracle.
Okay, excuse me. I knew. Yeah. I knew I was a miracle. I wanted to show you what it was about.
That God can, for real, that God can perform miracles if you understand your power to connect to that source to say, I believe I can be healed.
So going back a little bit, the stroke actually happened. Like, how do you know you're having a stroke?
I didn't. I literally was going out to Nirvana, like, seriously, I was home by myself and everything, and I was going out, and someone had just called me and said, "What's up, boss?" And I was like, "Hey," and I felt this right arm being very weak, but I was like, "Oh, I just need some rest," and so I had the phone up here, and then all of a sudden, I fainted out, and I heard them faintly going, "Ross, Ross, give me your mom's number." This person didn't even know my mom or anything.
Right.
I was on FaceTime.
Right.
I got it out, but she said I was slurring, And they called, and before you know it, I really, that's a long story, but I went out, came back to myself, and I will say this because I've always been spiritual, always. When I came to myself, I was speaking out loud, and I said, God, there's something happening to my brain, and I feel it, because I could feel a wave of energy that came on this side of my body. And I said, I don't know what's happening, and I need you to tell me what to do, literally. And then, you know, God told me what to do, and then someone came, took me to the hospital, and by the time I got to the hospital, I was in a wheelchair. Yeah, so I couldn't walk like that.
Right. So a year later,
yeah,
you had to learn how to walk.
Well, I had to learn how. I had an ischemic stroke, so thank God I did not have the massive stroke, but I had an ischemic stroke. So,
what is the difference?
Okay, so you have I think it is TIA, which is like where you have a quick stroke, and you can, a lot of people have those. They're tiny strokes.
Mm-hmm.
You'll recover within, it can literally happen and you don't know it. And it can be like 24 hours. You go to the doctor and you'll just come back to yourself, your functions. Ischemic stroke is where you actually have a blood clot mm-hmm. that stops your oxygen. That's the one I had. You usually have to be in the hospital for about 4 days and then you recoup.
Mm-hmm.
That one is better because it's not like the massive, which is usually from hemorrhaging, like blood.
Right.
And or probably if it stops in and the oxygen stops for a long amount of time.
Right.
Now that one, you can go into a coma. You have to, you know, learn how to talk all the way
over again.
But let me tell you why I say I was blessed, though. It's because the doctor said to me, you are blessed. He said lucky, but he said you're blessed. He said because the stroke stopped, which is always emotional for me, an inch before having a massive stroke. Literally, it unclotted, rather. He said, you were 1 inch. Had it gone another inch, he said, it'd be a very different story. You would be like a baby. So I'm blessed. I'm thankful.
Inches.
I'm so blessed.
Inches.
1 inch.
1 inch.
1 inch. He showed it to me on the monitor.
I'm going to need that song.
Yeah. 1 inch.
That 1 inch song.
Yes.
I'm gonna need that. I'm gonna need that. I want to be on that
one
track.
One inch from one a massive, inch. So I'm blessed. You know,
word.
Blessed.
And you rebuilt.
Yes, more.
More.
This taught me a lot. It taught me to have. It taught me to be a better teacher vocally, because when you have to reteach yourself with something which was very effortlessly before,
right?
Then when I look at my students after that and I start teaching, I was like, okay, now let me help you out because I understand
where you are.
Where you are.
Because I was there too.
Yeah. So it helped me to be a better teacher.
Okay.
Yeah. Better all right. vocalist, all of that.
So what now? Where are you now in your journey? You know, being that you have overcome.
Yes.
You are in a position of extreme blessing.
Yes,
and you're seeing your life through different eyes. Mm-hmm. The music it means more.
Yes, it does.
Inches mean more.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you, you know?
I think that one thing is that, first of all, when you go through an experience like this, it teaches you that life is short and that it can change in the blink of an eye, because my life changed. In the blink of an eye. Seriously. And I had no energy. That was very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So now I appreciate my energy more because I was always very energetic. So I appreciate my energy more. I appreciate the actual art form more, like connecting with the band more, connecting with the people more, and really saying, I just let it even more hang out, because that was always my thing. I always love to connect, but the vibration is different now, because it's like, I know what it was for it to be taken away for a short period. And I know what it is even now. Do you know I still walk in my healing now? Because even now, there are times my mind is very, you know, discombobulated, because there still is a brain injury there. So sometimes I'm trying to do everything at one time, and I have to on stage and say, calm down, Tanya, and bring it together. And then I come back to myself and say, okay. So, you know, it's a constant day of walking in your healing. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the multitasking more and to rest.
Rest is so important.
And your physical body, this temple, is important to have your health. Because let me say this, that stroke, I know where it came from. Because I was smoking, you know, as a singer, I picked up a bad habit. And for 8 years, I smoked. And for the last 4 years, which was before the stroke, I was smoking a pack a day. Mm. So I was a chain smoker. Mm. So I understood, girl, your health, trying to relax and saying, oh, I don't do anything else, just smoke that. Yeah, no. My gift, my purpose is more important than these things that distract us that could have taken my life. So I appreciate my physical body, you know, and my temple more, and saying, hey, if you want to do what you like to do, whether it's music, poetry, cooking, it doesn't matter. Then you have to do everything to keep this body together.
Right. You only get one.
You only get one. So I appreciate it.
Dope. So what's next for Tanya Ross?
I think I would just continue in who I am as, like I said, a healer. I will continue my vocal training with students and my music. And then, like I was telling you before, I have a spiritual business. So I will continue all those things, and just I allow the universe to take me where I am to be. And I just tune into that who I am. So I just continue to go from there.
We're here, yes. Tuning in, yes, with Tanya Ross, the healer, through music. Do you have any albums?
I do.
You got a lot of music. Oh, yeah, a lot of music. Okay. We're going to go there. So healing is about more than albums, you know. It's about being here with the people. So give us a quick Poetry Cafe shout out. You know what I'm saying? Give us a couple more notes. We close this thing out here today. It's such a blessing to have you.
Oh, thank you.
In the studio. It's such a gift to just be able to highlight the talent here in my city, Greensboro, North Carolina,
yes,
and take it to the world, the whole world, Craig. We're taking it over one day at a time, feeding your mind, your body, and your soul, right here with Tanya Ross.
I just love that you asked me to come on today. Freestyling it in every way. I have no idea what I'm about to say, but I'm grateful for this day. Everything that has happened was all in order. Just sit back, relax, chill. It all is divine.
Hey, if you didn't know, now you know. Poetry Cafe, stick and stay where you're at. And as promised, we've got the one and only Poetry Hotline. This is my man, Adam B. Check him out inside the Poetry Cafe.
Poetry Cafe.
How you beautiful people doing?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Got a poem for you. It's called The Cost of Yes. Thanks to the very unfortunately real thing called the cost of living. For work, we must look while we likely think, gotta do what you gotta do. So, oh, what doesn't sound so bad? Oh, that doesn't sound so bad. And so you apply, and maybe many times, and you better be ready to sell yourself before they even call you, and you really hope that they call you cost of living. And you think maybe this job just might be for you. And what do they want? And what do you want? An interview, so you can be asked to your face, why do you want this job? Why do you think you'd be good at this job? What makes you the best candidate for this job? And then you don't say, oh, I need money. You know, the cost of living? And how should I know? I've never done this before. And you hope that they don't say, oh, okay, well, we'll let you know. Hopefully they offer you that job that still sounds pretty good, better than your situation now. And if they do, wow, you're super stoked and crazy grateful, like you've just won the freaking lotto. And you actually can't help but look forward to things like clocking in, orientation, going a little above and beyond, and figuring it all out. But if you're not careful to remain crazy grateful, yeah, how long before you're complaining among the others, doing just enough to not get fired and watching the clock, counting the minutes and the hours because you just can't wait to get off work or do what? Veg out. Eat, sleep, repeat, stare at your phone, eat, sleep, repeat. Oh, how quickly we oft go from celebrating to suffering through, dreading and resenting the very thing that we asked and hoped for, and anything to which we commit is much like this. Yeah, just about everything has that new car smell at first. Take, for instance, the very unfortunately real thing called loneliness. Moving us to look and think, oh, who's that or who's next? And you know, maybe one thing leads to another and another thing leads to a committed relationship. But just how long after that honeymoon period do we find ourselves less than infatuated? Yeah, do we find ourselves missing the time when our other halves were still missing? Yeah, just how long does it take to go from being all over each other to being oh so simply over each other? And what about God? Yeah, thank God that he never gets bored or tired of us. Next to him, just dust. Oh, but if we were soil, would we be good? Remaining faithful to the end, and time flies. Whether we're rejoicing always or not, giving thanks in all circumstances or not, and it's always over before we know it, so don't get caught watching the calendar or the clock.
That was the Poetry Hotline and Adam B. This is Josephus. You are tuned into the Poetry Cafe, feeding your mind and your body and your soul. And as we wind down this 8 p.m. special, we had a few more people want to chime in on what Juneteenth meant to them. So let's check out Paige the Poet and Dr. T here in the Poetry Cafe.
Juneteenth marks the day when slaves in America realized they were free and could slowly but surely begin to build their own communities and enjoy the fruits of their labor after toiling through suffrage for hundreds of years. Today, it is an opportunity to gather peacefully, celebrate, and enrich our existence in real time.
Juneteenth designates the emancipation of millions of enslaved Black Americans. It propagates resilience, commemorates independence, and celebrates a chance at liberty and justice for those who were never a part of the all. It's an active setting of a place at the all table that says, room must be made, accounts will be settled, and change is going to come.
And listening to Tanya Roth throughout this interview, I've just been reminded of the power of perseverance, reminded of a higher power, reminded of the diligence and the faith and the purpose of our lives, reminded that music, the arts, always seems to pull us through, reminded that sometimes we have to be knocked down in order to get back up, just to learn who and why we are. And these things are synonymous with life. They say art imitates life, but I wonder if sometimes the art infuses life. Sometimes we're motivated and inspired by the art itself, someone else's lived experiences, and it's just a crazy emotional roller coaster that somehow leads us here to connection, to humanity, to love, and to life. Shout out to the whole entire crew. To my man Carlos for stepping in and saving the day. To my man Denarius on point as always. The whole band, Mike on keys, Isaac on drums, Jade on vocals, Serena on saxophone and flute. Man, it's been an amazing journey as we continue to build and share this art form, this gift, this platform to really use it to build community and change the world one poem at a time. This journey has not been one without roadblocks and transitions and hurdles, but the belief, the faith, oh man, the art form itself just continues to inspire and help us to move forward. There will be difficult days in your life. There will be storms that are going to come. Remember that the rainbow is always the end of the storm. Remember there's always a light in the tunnel. Remember that you miss 100% of the shots you do not shoot. Keep shooting. keep dreaming, keep pushing, keep living. We'll be right here waiting for you. My name is Josephus. This is the Poetry Cafe. And we, as always, are feeding your mind, your body, and your soul. Till next time, same place, same station, same energy, same rhythm, same love, same life, same poetry. Peace.
You are.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska. Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting is generously supported by the City of Sandpoint. Sandpoint is a first-class city in the Aleutians East Borough, located on Humboldt Harbor on the northwestern Popoff Island. Anchorage is 575 nautical miles to the northeast. The Sandpoint City Council